Welcome to Products to Profits with Sarah J. Cross, the podcast for creative product fempreneurs who want to play a bigger game and upscale their business.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm Sarah J. Cross, and I'm here to support you on your journey to becoming a successful product biz owner with tips, strategies, and stories to support and guide you through the good times and the challenges of running a product-based business. Today, I'm so thrilled we are talking with the lovely Rachel Reiter from Hopscotch Branding. She is the founder and creative behind her business. Today, she is sharing her incredible expertise on all things branding. I love talking branding and how it can make or break your business. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to chat with you about branding. Obviously my love. So
I love branding too. So tell us a bit about you and your background and how you got started in your business.
Well, we probably don't have time for the whole story, but I live in Adelaide with my hubby and our four beautiful daughters. Oh. And I just love running my business around my family and sort of have created this life business integration that I just adore. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a little unconventional, but it totally works for us. And I started working from home before it was a thing, really. Like, it was about 16 years ago. So I was a graphic designer in various, for a while, as I started my career and navigated that and tried, you know, dabbled in a few different things like website design and publishing and a few different boutiques and that kind of thing. But it got to the point where I had a side hustle, and you know, as a designer, like, you start doing some things for friends and family, and and it expands and it expands and expands. It was sort of a bit of an accidental business, I guess. Like, I never dreamt of it being, I was working full time. We had no kids at the time, and I sort of thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if I made a go of this and I could actually, you know, when we did start our family, work at home and do both. And long story short, that's kind of what happened. And I just leaned into it, quit my job, went all in and went, all right, this is it for me from now on.
Amazing. So what would you say, Rachel, are some of the most common mistakes that you see small businesses making with their branding?
So I've got three things to share with you, and there's so many. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. Yeah. But really, it's like, the first and probably the biggest is not knowing what branding really is and how it really does help to market your business and give you so much clarity and confidence in doing that and connecting with your perfect customers. So it's really just a lack of understanding, you know, for a lot of ladies, because my audience is ladies, when they start a business, like, they're looking to pursue something that's their love and their passion, and, you know, something like, whether they're a creative, like particularly product-based businesses, they're making something or they have an idea for something. Marketing isn't their zone of genius, their fault, but that's okay. It's all just part of learning the business process. But that's the first one. The second one, it kind of comes along, I guess, as a byproduct of the first one, of that lack of understanding, is making it up as you go, flying by the seat of your pants. It actually does translate in your marketing. And if you are giving off that unprofessional, scattered vibe, then you're just going to confuse people, and confusion leads to paralysis. Like, people aren't going to buy from you if they don't quite understand
what you're selling,
what you're selling, or how you're going to help them, like what the outcome is, or, you know, if they're not really attracted to it for any particular reason, like if they're getting lukewarm vibes rather than red hot vibes. The third one, and these all go hand in hand really, is rebranding every like 5 seconds. The amount of business
owners, I see rebranding happening a lot, actually. I get that you do outgrow certain things, but I think, like you said, a lot of the times businesses are born out of side hustles and out of markets, and they organically grow, and it's not a focus if you don't have a marketing background or a marketing focus. Your main priority is making products to sell them, you know, and getting them out there. So you're not actually thinking about it. But then when you're now moving into more of an online presence, or when you're going into your retail packaging, and, you know, clients of mine all have product-based businesses. So it's really imperative, isn't it, to actually have a really clear brand and, you know, your brand story, your brand voice, and to be confident, to lead confidently, I think, as well. And rebranding is costly.
Exactly. It's not just costly in monetary because of the investment of the actual rebrand and then the flow-on effect to all of that, but it's also costly in that, you know, you've been marketing yourself in a certain way and your audience has become familiar with that.
Yeah.
If you're rebranding, then that's, again, that's just going to lead to confusion, and particularly doing it again and again and again.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Rebranding can also set things back considerably and be that, you know, physical cost of taking the time, like not only just aesthetically, like for mixed messaging with customers, but also I see a lot of people spend a lot of money, and you probably have the two, on like overhauling a website and doing a whole new website, or with all my product-based clients, if they are unhappy or outgrown like basic packaging, they have to rebrand and print and have a whole, you know, like, so there is a lot of big costs when it's done, when you're actually, before you get, if you haven't done it before you get started, midway through.
Exactly.
I mean, and I look at, you know, 5 years down the track, I've been coaching for 7 years. And when I first started, I was all about like hot pink and black and white. And it was all very kind of like, I don't know, like it was sort of very feminine. But since then, I've gone a totally different way. Like, you know, maybe 3 years ago, gone into more like a color palette of more on trend colors, you know, and softened things a bit, and a bit more coral and teal. And, you know, like I've wanted a different look, because sometimes your business does change direction.
Well, that's exactly right. It does. And we have to be open to evolution, and brand elevation does come along with that. You have to be okay to embrace that. Like when there is a right time for a rebrand, but the right time for rebrand, I guess, is my, you know, the point that I was trying to get across is like, not just because you got bored of your logo, or not because you can't quite pinpoint what you think it should be, or, you know, if you're trying to design your own logo and that's not your area of expertise,
I see
you're
that
never going to quite get it right. And it's, you know, all like, they just, I see it all the time, particularly on Instagram. Oh, look at our new logo. And then 2 months later, I designed us a new logo. Please,
and stop. I see people putting it up in those Facebook groups, like they've gone on to Canva, or they've gone on to Fiverr, you know, and paid someone $20 to put something together, and it looks so generic. And put it up and say, you know, out of A, B, and C, D, you know, which one do you like? But no one understands what they're actually selling to start with. So there's no correlation to the logo and to the branding. And I think to give an opinion, you have to have some insight, some background.
Some context. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Rachel, why is branding so important to a product-based business?
I love this question, because branding is important to any business. And I will try to answer with the spin of the product-based business. But the branding process helps business owners find clarity and confidence in their direction, discover who their perfect customers are, learn how to speak to them, choose which marketing channels to focus on, unleash their creativity and how their products should be designed with that perfect customer in mind, you know, determining the whole look and feel of their packaging and their overall personality. Like, it just has this massive flow on effect that you get the core right, like if you get the brand right, everything else just, it's easy. It doesn't have to be hard. Like, so many people waste so much time and so much worry and stress, when if they focused on the right things, all of these answers would just be
too
brand. It would just be, oh, yep, our brand is this. This is what it's got to be. Like, I see so many product-based businesses with no clue about how to present their brand to their audience, and it's all just appears as a mishmash. And, you know, as we were talking about before, like, that's actually off-putting. Like, having an unprofessional-looking brand and feeling brand, like, you kind of like, okay, that's not, I don't think that's professional. Like, that's not giving me the right kind of vibes. I'm out of here. And this is why so many product-based businesses struggle to grow, because they're not focusing on their brand. And I have conversations with many of them, and it's always like, oh, but I've just printed new labels, or I've just done these.
Yeah, I've committed to like 1,000 of them.
I need to make a new website. And it's like, but if you don't get all of these things right, there's no point investing in any of those things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's all about the whole customer experience, right?
Yeah,
From initial contact.
Yeah.
Through to navigating the website, the checkout, the nurture emails, the timeliness of delivery, the packaging, the unboxing experience. And then, of course, like, it's the actual product.
Then it's the journey.
There's all these other things that contribute to how somebody feels about your brand.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm missing some things, but,
I think everyone listening who has product-based businesses get you, and they're probably sort of, some of them might be thinking, oh, that could be me. There could be some disconnects along. There's a missing piece of the puzzle that doesn't feel right. I need to really review that. So what are the three powerful ways a business can demonstrate their personality through their branding?
So many. But once you have gone through this branding process, you can then use all of this information that you now have, all of these answers that you've discovered, to translate the message through your personality. So this comes about like visually and vocally and like feelings and emotions. It's all part of it. So color is, we were talking about just briefly before, about your evolution with your color palette. Yeah. Color psychology, like when you use it strategically, you can actually use color to evoke an emotional kind of response in your audience. Yeah. Like, we all have learned associations with color.
So yellow and red for McDonald's, it stimulates appetite.
It does.
Yeah. So it actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And yellow is the color of happiness. Like, it's and high vibe. Like, and red's a very high vibrational color.
It is, yeah.
And you might see, like, and it does actually increase appetite. So you'll see, like, Hungry Jack's, KFC, McDonald's, all of
them. They all have the red in there, don't they?
Like, it's actually scientifically proven to increase appetite. So that's definitely a really good example. Another great example is blue. Blue is very calming and very trust evoking. So I was just telling someone the other day that navy blue is the most common color used in branding, because the whole idea is that we want to woo our audience to a place of trust.
Yes.
So that, you know, they're feeling that. And navy is the color of trustworthiness. So
I've got a white house, rendered house, but my door is French navy. I had no idea. That's kind of like a welcome, you know, that I chose that color in a French navy.
Yeah.
It's a classic color, isn't it?
A lot of
professional brands have navy and blue and medical and health, you know, that's all very blue based for trust.
Yeah. And especially like the paler blue, that's a more calming. So that's why you'll find that color used in hospitals a lot. It's really interesting. But also like the language that you're using. So you can infuse keywords throughout your copy, like social captions on your website, and this carries the personality through words. And you can actually infuse your brand keywords
in
all of your copy, and because repetition will help to instill this idea of your brand and stimulate recall in the future about her, you know, encourage people to feel a certain way. It's all very subconsciously, but if you're intentional about it, like over time, like if branding is a long-term game, and you work hard at it, then you can actually help to foster that reputation through color, through words, and things, particularly I think for product-based businesses, like your visual brand has got to be amazing. Like, it's got to be so incredibly magnetic in its
aesthetic. It has to be consistent too, doesn't it? Because I see like businesses lacking in consistency when you look at even like their Instagram posts and their feed. Some of it just looks like a dog's breakfast, you know?
Yeah.
Like to the eye, it's very over the top, but the colors are all over the place as well. There's no sort of standard sort of color palette that, you know, makes you feel familiar. When you go back, you can see that the colors are there. You know, when people do it right, that consistency with color, so that does evoke like you're familiar and you're also building trust.
Even
it's a small things you don't think aesthetically would matter so much. Like some people wouldn't think, what's the matter what colors I use or what logo I have or how I communicate that online. But like you're saying, like it can be the making and breaking of a business.
Can, because it's all about perception. Like people are always judging. Like it's not.
Exactly. Subconsciously you are always judging without realizing that you're judging.
We all are. And and we like little radars. Like we're, you know, we're either attracted to something or we're repelled by something, and we're naturally attracted to something that is beautiful and it's appealing to the eye, and all of, you know, the color and the consistency, all of those things are attractive to the human eye. And so if you're, you know, telling yourself that it doesn't matter or you don't care, you don't care about your brand, no one else is going to care about your brand either. The intention and forethought and, you know, the work that you put into your brand, it will actually pay you back.
Yeah, exactly. It's an investment. And Rachel, what would you tell someone who is just, say, starting out in their product-based business journey? Like, what do they need to do? What are the essentials? And let's keep in mind, sometimes people don't have a huge budget or they don't know the importance. They might not put the emphasis on it. They might not know that it's going to transpire into more orders.
So
what would be like the standout things that is just like a no-brainer, like that they have to do? So we interrupt this podcast to tell you all about the Creative Product Institute Mastermind. It's a time to level up your business and implement my proven signature system for creative product business expansion. When I got started at only 24 years old, I built a successful corporate gift hamper service starting from my kitchen table. I went from landing a $30,000 offer and wrapping every package by hand myself to a company with annual sales of $1.5 million per year. And it certainly wasn't all glitz and glamour. I was completely overwhelmed to start with, and I was trying to manage everything in my business all by myself. So out of it, I actually have been able to devise a really solid program for those of you who are looking to take your business to the next stage. So if your business is established for more than 2 to 3 years, you're ready to invest in yourself 10 times in your sales, and you're really committed as an action taker and ready to get the big results, then pop onto my website, which is sarahjcross.com, and find the mastermind, and you can apply there to have a chat with me, or go to thecreativeproductinstitute.com. to learn more all about signing up and scaling further. Now back to the show.
And I know that like capital is a tricky thing, like you really do need to make sure that you focus on your brand first. That doesn't necessarily mean investing $10,000 in a branding package, but you really do need to focus on that brand before you do any marketing. You just have to give it a little bit of forethought because your brand is truly the heart and soul of your whole business. It's what you stand for. It's who you are. It's who you're for. It's your culture, your values, your personality, your ethos. And if you start marketing your brand before you focus on these things, you're just kind of like going to paddle around.
In transactions lost, it can cost a lot more. But then when you have to then go and implement all new branding packages, labeling, like what you were mentioning before, I see that a lot. And what what sometimes it blocks them from proceeding with selling, because they say, I have a lot of people who I talk to about working with me for coaching, oh, I need to do a rebrand. So they're basically writing off, I can't work with you and for another 6 months because I'm going through a whole new rebrand of my website and all my packaging.
Yeah.
And that in a way is almost putting everything on pause, on ice, because the focus is not about their marketing and selling. It's actually about making aesthetically it look modern or new. And there's going to be a lot more money invested. So they don't have money for coaching because all the money is going into, some people spend $1 zillion unnecessarily on websites. Yeah. It's all about, you know, and it's not about the functionality of the journey. It's actually about what it looks like. And it can cost a lot of money if you don't do it right from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it's not just that, it's also the heartache of it all. Like, just, I get that it's so easy to start a business these days with not much money, like not much capital. And if you're coming from a side hustle, like, I'm totally empathetic to that. I understand that, but it really, like, the way that business, I guess, in the corporate world are doing it is that they make sure that they have the capital in that startup phase. So if you don't have that capital, save up for it. And it might take a little longer initially.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you'll be saving time and money.
Yeah, down the track. Yeah, absolutely. I totally.
Once you're on your legs and you're running, you won't have
totally
to.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
And what aspects do you feel like with branding should, like, an owner consider, you know, what do they need to do to try and resonate with ideal customers? Because sometimes they're still working out who is my ideal customer. So what do you think they need to sort of factor in if they're, let's say they're not going to invest in a big, you know, branding, marketing strategy campaign? Yeah. What do you think, sort of garden variety sort of stuff?
You really do need to get to know who your ideal customer is.
Yeah, and I agree.
Finding a product.
Yeah.
It kind of has to be with somebody in mind.
Yes, I agree. You've got to have that person, that avatar with a name. That was sort of something I used to do on a lot of my retreats. I've sort of probably stopped doing that now because I'm coaching people who already got established businesses.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's about understanding who your avatar, like, what's her name? What does she spend money on? What does she do on the weekends? Like, who's the voice? And it could be someone who could be your ideal favorite person that's bought from you before, or it could actually be you. Like, you could be creating something that would be for someone like yourself that would use and buy beneficial.
Yeah. So get to know that person. And even if you've only just started and, you know, I don't know, if you're selling at markets, or just ask people to chat. Like, it doesn't have to be like a huge research survey or anything.
Yeah.
Just get to know them, like, talk to people, and then you can sort of find out what it actually is that's appealing to them about your product. And then start mirroring their language in your messaging, because they want to feel like you see them. Like, every person on the planet just wants to feel
important,
validated.
Yeah.
They just want to be like, oh my gosh, they actually get me. That's the product for me.
And finally, Rachel, how can a brand strategist like yourself benefit a product-based business?
Yeah.
And at what stage of their business journey should a business owner look at bringing you on and using your services?
We've talked about this already, how easy it is to start with no capital.
Yeah.
And technology is, like, I'm so grateful for the technology that we have. Like, I wouldn't be able to run my business without this amazing new technology that has enabled so many people to start businesses online at home. But what has happened is it's flooded the market. So now we're in this flooded market where every man and his dog is starting a business. And I'm so here for it and I'm so excited. But if you want to break free from that pool of people, out of the little hobby, out of the side hustle mindset, you have to start thinking like a serious business owner.
A bigger business,
So you have to start thinking for the future. Like, what is your brand? What do you want for your brand in the future? What is it that's going to take you there? And make decisions from that place. So, you know, the earlier the better. The earlier that you can get this, like the more successful your business is going to be more quickly. And it's the only way to make progress. So I guess to answer your question, you want to be focusing on your brand strategy as soon as possible. And, you know, preferably, as I keep saying, happens before everything else, because your brand has a flow-on effect to everything else that you're doing. It's not just about the pretty logo and the packaging. It's what comes before that that actually helps you to come up with the pretty packaging and the logo.
And so, is that something that you walk people through, Rachel, from the start with those questions around that, so that it's really validated, they've got that clear understanding, and it instills confidence and clarity in their business before they go and get things, they invest further into actual physical packaging and websites. You know, some people can drop $10,000, $20,000 on websites and they might not even be functioning properly or really aesthetically. Like, they can be confusing because people can get there and go, what the hell do they sell? Like, I don't even understand what their products
are. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's ways to do it that aren't necessarily one-on-one with somebody like me. I have a program, like I have an online program that you can just basically walk through yourself to get really clear on your brand and help you to come up with that personality. And, you know, at the end, you get your own set of brand guidelines. And I think, like, going through it by yourself, like, on not on your own, but, you know, like, rather than outsourcing the whole of your brand strategy,
is
so important. Like, as a business owner, as the CEO, as the, you know, the head honcho, you've got to, these are the things that you can't just go, oh, that's too hard, somebody else can do it for me, because you have to be connected to it yourself.
Totally. I agree. I'm like nodding my head for everybody who's listening. You know, it's just obviously sound voice that you're listening, but I'm going, yelp, yelp, yelp. Like, everything is like speaking loudly to me. I totally get it. Because, I mean, I have built and sold businesses, and I know just how important that it is. Totally worth the investment, just like your product photography is not worth getting it done professionally. Same as your branding and your brand voice and your you know, which maps out your whole journey. And if you can invest that money, like you said, at the beginning and put the money in there, then you don't have to redo it down the track and do an overhaul and, you know, get help and outsource that, but do it from the beginning and use someone professionally. Like, don't bootstrap. There's some things you can't bootstrap.
Exactly.
It shows.
It does.
Yeah. And I've had many a conversation where if I start working and coaching someone, I can clearly tell if they've been doing their own photography. And it just does not do the products any justice, or doesn't. And you use your photos, as you know, like your branding, everywhere. You know, you're putting it on so many different, you know, platforms and software and out there, that it's so important that there's that you've actually got it nailed.
Exactly.
And I think confidence too.
Like, once you have that toolkit, you've got this like abundance of marketing. Like, it's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
Those types of investment, they're non-negotiable in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's wonderful. So Rachel, where can our listeners, my listeners, find you? Like, where do you hang out? What's the best place if they want to like find out more about what you do and your services and even maybe that self-paced
program? Well, you could head over to my website, which is rachelreiter.com, spelled R-E-I-T-E-R. But I do hang out on Instagram probably more than I should.
Yes.
So I'm rachelreiter_brandmentor.
Brand mentor. Fabulous. Yep. Oh, I love it. Okay. Thanks so much for being here with us today, Rachel.
Pleasure.
Well, everyone, I hope you found today's chat as exciting as I did. If you've loved this episode, please make sure to share it with a friend or leave us a review, because I love a good review. So more people can find us. It's time for me to say goodbye, and I will see you in our next episode.
This week's episode is brought to you by Fearless Fempreneur. Learn how to scale your business by getting gorgeous products stocked in major airports and national retailers. Grab your copy at sarahjcross.com. Loved this episode of Products to Profits? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated.